A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hello and welcome to another episode of We're Not Fucking Historians with me, Shane Todd. And who's that over there on the brow of a hill?
Oh, who's that? Who do we see?
Oh, it's you.
It is I.
Yeah.
Hazel Hayes.
Sorry, I thought you were also looking for someone else and I was like,
I don't know. I was just trying to take part in the bit.
It was a weird metaphor. If you haven't listened to this podcast by now, let me explain what it is. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We look through Irish history, we look for the best stories, and sometimes they're really old, like last week when we did The Children of Lear, mm-hmm. which took place so long ago that, Hazel, you did the episode and you don't even know when it was.
Prehistory it was.
Which is so convenient for us, isn't it? When something's like, it can't be documented properly.
Yeah, I love that because then I don't have to remember any dates.
My story today is about the DeLorean. The rise and fall of an Irish-built sports car. Now, that's not something you put together, Irish and sports car.
No.
Hazel, what do you drive?
I don't.
Well, no.
Isn't London.
The thing about you, you've got a license, but you don't have a car.
Love driving, have a license, had a car in Ireland, moved to London, no point having a car.
Right.
There's just no point having a car, because you can't fucking park anywhere, and the tube gets you everywhere you need to go. So I don't have one here, but I miss it. I had no idea that the DeLorean had anything to do with Ireland. I mean, we do claim a lot of things, don't we?
You joke. You didn't know?
No.
I thought we'd all know.
I honestly didn't know. I swear to God, when you said we're doing something about DeLorean, I was like, oh, this is going to be a person called Mark DeLorean who it just so happened the car got named after or something. But you're actually doing it about the car.
Yeah, the third king of Leinster, DeLorean.
Mark DeLorean. Yeah. Also, yeah, no, we don't. I wouldn't say we have a massive history of automobile stuff. I can't think of any other famous Irish cars. We had Eddie Irvine. He was good.
Yeah, but he isn't a car.
No, but he drove around in one, didn't he?
He did.
He did it quite fast.
He did. And to be fair, he's popped up more in these episodes than anyone ever could have imagined, himself included.
Mick Hucknall has come up more than Eddie Irvine. And the two gay Burns have come up a fair bit. Eddie Irvine, actually, have I ever said that I once... This is so random. Speaking of cars, I used to work for Hertz Rent-A-Car.
Okay.
Full title, Hertz Rent-A-Car. And I was like in customer service.
Sorry, can I just say, Hertz Rent-A-Car sounds like a Viking guy that would have invaded us.
That's what it's named after. He invaded Dublin. Hertz Rent-A-Car. So I worked for them. I was in customer service. And then they put me on like kind of dedicated account management, where I was doing like written correspondence with like silver tier customers or whatever. So every once in a while, you'd get the odd like BC rate celebrity writing in about some shitty car experience they had. P.S. I will just say, while working for Hertz, I just gave people whatever what they wanted.
Right.
I was that girl. Because I didn't care about the fucking corporation or the bottom line. I was
not
just like,
out of your pocket.
Not coming out of my pocket. Someone's had a shitty experience. They'd write these emails. They were so sad. It was people, they missed funerals. They missed cruises. They couldn't get to family who were sick, you know, because cars broke down or they didn't get help or the car just wasn't there. And I was like, that's shit. Have a bunch of money on us.
Have a million.
My boss was not too pleased. Anyway, one day I got a message from Eddie.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the end. Honestly, that's the answer.
Eddie Irvine, for anyone who doesn't know, is a former Ferrari Formula One driver. A lot of F's there. He's from Bangor, Northern Ireland. And I guess Northern Ireland is more linked with the DeLorean than the South because it was built in Belfast. So DeLorean are these really iconic, and I'm not a big car guy.
I have a picture of one. I'm going to move to, I swear to God, I'm about to put this on my wall. Hold on.
Oh, wow.
I know this is a podcast so no one can see.
No, that's fine. People like to go behind the curtain.
If you want to see this clip, you'll have to look on Instagram.
Look it up because people will know it when they see it. There's a wee DeLorean.
And a little reflection of you as well.
Look at that.
Yeah, I have that framed. That's come down off the wall, but it's going back up soon. I've just moved.
So the main way people will know the DeLorean as a car, and yeah, I sort of mentioned there, this won't be a car episode. Don't be like, I don't like cars. Hey, do we look like we like cars? No.
No. Or the movie.
Yeah.
Neither.
No. But this is a good story. The DeLoreans are really linked to Back to the Future because they were featured in that, the DeLoreans. So we're going to talk about that in the end. But yeah, they're these kind of like sports cars that were really like garish in a way. They have what are called gull wing doors, which are those doors that move up instead of out. You know, sports cars that, remember in Dumb and Dumber, they had them as well. They lift up. And that was like the dream back in the day to have a car that did that.
Why?
I don't know. People just wanted to spend money on things that they thought was futuristic. It had an unpainted stainless steel body. It had a rear mounted engine. It was
a bit like myself.
Hey,
I don't know.
I don't know either. But it was a real like revolutionary design, revolutionary car. Now John DeLorean himself was American. I actually thought he was Irish, but he isn't. He's American.
So there is a dude by the name of DeLorean.
John DeLorean. He had worked for Ford, for General Motors. He was like a young, hotshot kind of guy. And then he set up the DeLorean Motor Company, also known as DMC. And on the front of DeLorean, you will see the three letters DMC. This was in 1973. He left his job to set up his own place. Now, Hazel, they describe him as a handsome engineer in this account that I read.
Can I just say,
I looked at his picture and I'd swipe the way that is the way you swipe if you're saying nish nish.
We like, always do this. We need to learn which way you swipe on Tinder if you're not fucking interested.
Yeah, I would just give him a big fat no.
Big fat no.
Now, I don't want to disrespect the guy's legacy. We'll do that throughout the episode. So he sets up his own company. The company, DMC, ends up bankrupt less than a decade later. He gets arrested by the FBI in a cocaine trafficking sting operation. But in a way, his gamble pays off. His car, despite having loads and loads of problems, goes down in history and might get a bit of a second lease of life. Hazel, are you interested in this story?
I'm so interested. What you've done there is like you front-loaded. You've done that thing that they do like on Netflix where they're like, all this to come. And then they do the episode.
It all happens and I say, let me tell you how we got here. Think of this car as the Tesla of its day. All right, it was totally different. It was turning heads. It wasn't like all the rest of the stuff that was out there. And John DeLorean, this guy, wanted to make an ethical sports car. He wanted it to be safe, fuel efficient. He wanted it to like last long for people that were going to drive it. So it really was like the first Tesla almost. And 1,000%, I don't know if there's articles or interviews on this, but Elon Musk definitely has been influenced by the DeLorean. So this guy's seen as a maverick. He wants to do it his own way, and that kind of will be his downfall.
The DeLorean. Gullwing doors rise effortlessly, beckoning you inside. The sleek, stainless steel DeLorean. Beautifully crafted for long life, the DeLorean is one of the most awaited automobiles in automotive history. Drive the DeLorean. Live the dream today.
So, DeLorean wants to make this car. Hazel, if you want to design something, where in the world do you go? Who do you speak to? What nationality of people when it comes to design?
The Italians.
The Italians. And I think you knew the answer to that because over Zoom I kept doing this with my hands. You know, like doing the Godfather.
You went very Jared Leto House of Gucci there.
Right.
It's-a me, Jared Leto.
Mamma mia. I'm thinking more Gino DiCampo.
Mamma mia, I do the acting in the movie.
Is it funny when we think Italian, you think of Jared Leto and I think of Gino DiCampo? But it's an Italian designer called Giorgetto Quigaro.
Allora, love
but,
it.
But this guy's made sports cars for Maserati, Alfa Romeo, Volkswagen. He designed the original Golf. People love a Golf. People in Ireland love a Volkswagen
Golf. Love a Golf.
Young lads,
they're
love
so
a golf.
Reliable as your first car. Get a Golf.
Oh, that's baller if your first car's a Golf.
Everyone. Well, I was always Ooh. Told to get Volkswagen as the first car because it's
Oh, I was running about in a Passat for a few years, but definitely.
Oh, don't.
Me a while
I didn't have one. I'm just saying people recommended. I had a fucking Dayu Matiz. I called her Doris Dayu. A little silver can, which right. was not safe, which eventually, I shit you not, leaked orange fluid all over my feet.
Not
and
good.
And then just smoke burst out of it, and I couldn't see out the windscreen. So I had to get her to like the fucking car graveyard with my head out the window driving because I couldn't see. It was a piece of shit.
Hazel, are you Mr. Bean?
It wasn't unlike that. Doris Dayu was my first. And then I had little Yaris. She was great. Loved
oh,
Yaris.
Nice. I can see
Tasha Yaris. If anyone is a Trekkie, they'll understand that joke. I would love to see the Venn diagram of Trekkies and we're not fucking historians, listeners, and like, who's in the middle there? Write in. Let us know if you're a Trekkie and you get the Tasha Yaris joke.
Someone could design that artwork. And when this guy designed the DeLorean, he based it on a 1970s concept car he created for Porsche called the Tapiro. And it had the gull wing doors and stuff as well. The DeLorean has a massive link to Belfast. And it's something, now that you say like you weren't aware of it, it's something like young people nowadays wouldn't really know. There's no real, in my mind,
oh my
there's
God,
no
Shane,
real
thank
legacy.
You for calling me young.
Well, no, I said separately. I said young people, probably as we've established. I mean, people listen to this don't know. They think you're somewhere between 68 and yeah. 90, you know, because yeah. like you yeah. do talk about making your own jam and all that kind of
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, fair.
So in 1976, DeLorean, this maverick of the car industry, has a prototype made. Mm-hmm. He uses all these innovative methods, and he doesn't play by the rules. This guy, he doesn't play by the rules. He moves the engine from the middle to the rear. He puts in Oof. A V6 powertrain. I don't know what that is, but he does all this design stuff at the expense of the driving experience. So I think people were like, yeah, man, it looks good and you're cool, but this drives like a piece of shit.
Is it like that episode of The Simpsons where Homer met his brother who was played by Danny DeVito and he had like, he wanted him to design a car and then he just let Homer design a car and it was like, do you remember this?
No.
It's what you're describing is this episode of The Simpsons.
Right.
Where
he
completely just the driving experience went out the window yeah. and there's a big bubble in the middle and the horn honks like La Cucaracha. Ba 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 ba.
Oh, maybe I've
like,
seen this.
It's a monstrosity. I'm pretty sure that's what he calls it, is a monstrosity at the end. But this is what I'm now imagining this poor guy is putting together.
All right, you eggheads! I want a place in this car to put my drink!
Sir, the car has a beverage holder.
Hello, Einstein! I said a place to put my drink! You know those super slinkers they sell in a Quickie Mart? The cup is this big!
Extremely large beverage holder.
I'm not done yet. You know that little...
Boy right, and I think some people might look at DeLorean and think it is ugly. But it was such a futuristic type design for the yeah. time. DeLorean actually wanted to build a car in Puerto Rico and signed this agreement to build it on the side of a former US Air Force base. But he gets a better offer from the British government, who convinced him to head over to Northern Ireland to do it. Now, what's funny is, I imagine, like, because he's American, that maybe yeah. was easy done. But if you were to say to anyone, like, if you were saying to an English businessman, build your cars in 1970s Northern Ireland, they go, do you know what? I'm all right. Don't worry about it. Thanks for the offer. But because DeLorean's American, he doesn't know what we're up to over here.
I've got a fucking clue. Do you know where you should go build that?
Yeah.
Belfast.
That's it, me being
in
like...
In the 70s.
Yeah, I'm loving doing these Leicester Square Theatre shows in London. Someone goes, you should do one in Helmand Province. It'll be cheaper. We'll get you a better door cut.
It's like saying to someone now, and I really don't mean to be offensive when I say this, like, but you know where you should do that? Kyiv.
Yeah.
Head over to Ukraine. Get that
done
there.
Do the Kyiv Fringe. Yeah. I'd see how it goes.
But he had no clue. No clue.
So the company receives about, they think it was $120 million in government grants to build this purpose-built plant to make these cars. It's in a place called Dunmurry, which is near Belfast, and they want to make 30,000 cars, and they're going to employ 2,000 people. So this is huge at a time where Belfast is going through the troubles and conflict. So yeah, this would have been a godsend for so many people that needed work. There was like a 3-week delay in shipping the cars across the Atlantic, and a bad exchange rate and stuff like this. So there's bad business going on, basically.
And a lot of people hiding newspapers from the American guys.
Yeah, pretty much.
Where is the newspaper this morning? Oh, it didn't arrive.
Yeah, we don't cutting have out news, pages. So don't ever watch TV.
don't turn that on.
Dorian wants to sell these cars for $12,000, which is why it's called, the model of the car is called the DMC-12. That was his idea. DMC-12, $12,000. But when it eventually gets launched in 1981, hey, he's selling it for 25 Gs. Because he realises that it's not economical and it's cost him so much to ship it over. Which it's $70,000 in today's money. So it's like a top sports car.
But is it a top sports car? Like, does it operate as, is it good?
No, they weren't good cars.
Oh God.
It was apparently like their main competition was Corvette, which at the time cost $16,000. So it was really, but by 1983, these cars were costing $34,000. So they became a bit of like a novelty figure, but they were selling well. Like they were rolling off the line January 1981. And from like the first production to the second, they make some improvements. Their workers acquire more skills, and apparently people say like what you didn't want is some of the first wave of the cars they produced, because you know they got some negative press for not being safe and that kind of thing.
It's like when you're making pancakes, the first one's always a bit shit.
You just gotta
sacrifice the first pancake.
That's what it is, but unfortunately this is a car which you're going to be driving
which costs $80,000. Yeah.
So even though these look like really quick futuristic sports cars, critics said these cars don't have any power. The engine produced 130 horsepower, which isn't good. It took over 10 seconds to get from 0 to 60.
My Daewoo Matiz could have done better than that.
You would have won a drag race against is that what it's called? Yeah. Because I was thinking of RuPaul's Drag Race, but it is a drag race.
They've really taken the term drag race now, so that it feels weird to compare it to use it for cars. Yeah.
So they were selling cars, but they kept getting all this negative press, and people that like cars were panning it. And soon things started to like change a bit. Like they were running out of money. They needed cash. And then in 1982, so only like a year or so after these cars were rolling off the line, John DeLorean gets arrested because he gets videotaped in an FBI sting during which he agrees to finance a fake cocaine smuggling operation in the hope that it's going to keep his company afloat and give them a lot of cash.
The phony banker seated on the left and DeLorean meet a suspected big-time drug smuggler, the real target of the undercover investigation, who says he won't get involved unless DeLorean was involved.
I'd like to see some performance. A week later, his company, DMC, DeLorean, has to file for bankruptcy. They stop making cars in 1983. Hazel, do you know how many cars they ended up making in total?
24.
9,000. That was such a horrific, horrific guess. That's annoyed me so much that you've gone so low. I'm talking about, the first batch of cars wasn't that good, but then they were better. And you think they sold 24 cars? There's like 20 still running about Belfast.
Me. Don't ever ask me to guess shit. I'll get it so wrong that it will ruin whatever you're trying to then get to. Man. We did this with the Titanic. It's happened already. Just stop asking me to guess. It will never even be in the fucking ballpark. Except that one time that I got it like so spot on, it was weird.
Yeah, that's like that Kevin Bridges bit of material where he says like when you go and pay for an expensive round and you ask people to guess how much your round of drinks were and they guess it. And he's like, oh, it doesn't sound that expensive now. That's what that was.
We'll do it again. Take two. Go for it.
Hazel, how many cars do you think they sold in total?
A million.
9,000. They only got to sell 9,000. We've got a sex sting drug FBI scandal to talk about. There's no sex involved, but it sounds better. Bring chalk for your hands. I've left you on a cliffhanger.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Welcome back to this episode of We're Not Fucking Historians. Is this, Hazel, are we about to talk about our first sting operation?
I think this is our first sting operation. However, yes. Before the break, you led with we've got a sex sting operation.
I lied about that. There's no sex.
To my knowledge,
in it.
There is none.
There's not, but sometimes you gotta say that and then you hook them in and then you just have to be honest.
And then they listen to all those fucking shit ads and then they come back and then they're like, well, where's the sex? We can add a bit of sex.
Yeah, John DeLorean at some point in his life probably had sex. So there go, there's the link.
In one of his cars, probably. His parents would have had to for him to be born. So there you
absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely. So DeLorean gets caught in this FBI drug scandal.
This guy is mad. I kind of want to take him for a pint though.
Yeah, and I think there's been, we're going to talk about a film version of this at the end, but there's movies and documentaries made about this, and I must watch one. DeLorean eventually, he gets acquitted of all the charges. It takes 2 years later when a jury unanimously decide the FBI had illegally entrapped him. There's a 2 year gap, though, between the charges and this, so that's no good to him because by the time he gets acquitted, his company's gone and his factory shuts down. I'd love to know, I'd probably passed this factory so many times now, whatever is there now.
Yeah.
I must find out actually what has replaced it.
I was going to say, the other thing, like when you said they offered up Northern Ireland as the place to build these cars.
Yeah.
Like, and obviously the troubles are the obvious reason why you don't do that. But also, like, I just would have thought Northern Ireland hasn't, like, famously done so well with, like, building vehicles.
You gonna mention the Titanic?
I was gonna let you mention the Titanic.
If at first you don't succeed, get up and try again.
Sure.
And we're fucked
it's just
it
it's not
time.
Like the world capital of building vehicles that then go on to do well. You know? It just feels a bit cursed.
Yeah, I think that probably didn't help the DeLorean, but I think they got them over here because, you know, they knew it would be cheaper.
Oh, look,
they
and I'm so glad that they've created all those jobs and helped the economy. That's great. I'm just wondering, was it the same?
Years.
It wasn't the same factory, was it?
What do you mean?
Where they made it?
Oh, they didn't make you. Oh, sorry. You think they made the Titanic in a factory? Oh, that'd be
like
a good one.
A big shipyard.
Someone maybe... phone a haulage firm and see how we're going to get this down to the docks. Or, I know, why don't we just build it in the docks?
Soap!
In the shipyard.
Soap! They used soap, do you remember?
Yeah.
5,000 tons of soap.
5,000 tons of soap. Name of your rap album. DeLorean goes bankrupt. Its whole stock gets acquired by another company that sells all their remaining cars for about 20 grand each.
Oh my god.
Just after its demise, the DeLorean.
Because I know what's coming up, because this has happened around 83, and I know what happens in 1985.
Right. So in 1981, two filmmakers, Robert Zemeckis.
Zemmy boy!
Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale, they're writing a script about a teenager that travels back in time using a time machine built from a refrigerator. You know what I'm talking about. 1984, Back to the Future is in production, and John DeLorean is still on trial at that point for drug trafficking. The refrigerator, though, is written out, and they make the vehicle something way more iconic. And at the last minute, they make a decision to pick a DeLorean for Doc Brown's character, for his plutonium-powered time machine. So the DeLorean becomes a hugely iconic piece of film.
The way I see it, if you're going to build a time machine into a car, why not do it with some style?
See, now you're speaking my language. We can talk about Back to the Future all day long.
What a feel-good, funny... brilliant emotional film Back to the Future is. So three cars get built for the film in a Back to the Future, and the main vehicle that they use in Back to the Future is on display still today in the Peterson Automotive Museum in LA.
I've touched it.
You have?
I have. You're not supposed to, though. I got in trouble.
Oh shit.
When they did the Ready Player One premiere here in London, they brought the DeLorean over. They wheel it out for events.
Yes,
frequently.
We have. There's a few guys here who have them and rent them out for a few quid.
Yeah, there's a few still doing the rounds, but they wheel this one out. They had the original one. Speely was there. There was all this hype. So yeah, I sort of went and had a little leaned against it and took some photos, and people were like, "Don't touch that car." But then also Steven Spielberg was there, and we went to like shake hands with him, and similarly like, "Don't touch Steven." So you really don't touch things at these events, is what we've learned. But yeah, it was there, and it was quite cool to see it. It was actually quite cool to see it, because so Back to the Future came out in 1985. Also the year I was born. I have a real affinity with this film.
Nice. I like that you've got a link.
I do. I have a little link. It's the first sci-fi that I loved and time travel movie that I loved. And there are some questionable bits in it now, of course, looking back. But no, fucking wonderful film. And I did not know that it was going to be a fridge.
Yeah, it was originally supposed to be a fridge. And then they changed and...
How were they getting it? But like, I just don't even understand the mechanics of that. I want to see that script. Anyway, it's a DeLorean. Sorry, continue.
It was a DeLorean. The company that bought it, the present day DeLorean Motor Company, has over 4 million original parts left over from the cars that they didn't make. But they use that to refurbish old DeLoreans to like near perfect condition still now. It's crazy. They go for the DeLorean sell from somewhere now in 2022, somewhere between 50 grand and 60 grand. And the guy who's in charge of like reconditioning them says they spend like 25, 30 grand to get them up to like the standard you bought them in. So there's serious money still in DeLoreans. While you were telling that story,
that
I looked online to see if you and me wanted to go halfers and buy a DeLorean. There's one. Now, they're selling quite a few in America, but that doesn't suit us. We could buy one in Derbyshire for 85 grand.
Okay.
23,000 miles.
Euro or pounds? Sterling.
Pounds.
That's a lot.
Have a think and let me know, and we could. Like,
I will. Yeah, yeah.
On
I wonder if they'd come down on that a little bit. I wonder if we could haggle. Would we like share? Would we do like we'd share it and then like take like alternate weekends like with a child?
Yeah. Exactly. You have it during the week. I get every other weekend.
Love it.
Because DeLorean was such a character himself, and the company was so infamous. The as I said, there's always these documentaries and films about him. Alec Baldwin is playing him in this like documentary film type thing called Freeman John DeLorean.
That must have been made a while ago.
Yeah, I think it was.
Okay.
George Clooney's production company also is going to make a biopic of John DeLorean.
Really?
Yeah, people love it.
I've really just never seen anything about this man. I can't believe I didn't know he existed. I didn't know that they were built in Belfast.
I knew his name was John DeLorean, but before researching this, I didn't know anything about him.
No, nothing.
In 2016, the guy, surnamed Wynn, who owns the company now that basically are DeLorean, he announced 2016 he was going to use leftover parts to build brand new DeLoreans from scratch because they've got all the parts.
Yeah.
But then he was unable to do it because the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration basically said, like, don't do that. Don't be at that.
Please don't be making those cars anymore.
They brought out new legislation about the production of low-volume replica cars.
They brought out new legislation that said cars need to be safe now.
Yeah.
And preferably not kill
a car
people.
That wasn't safe in the 80s and the 70s. Don't be making a new version of that.
Don't make more of them. It's crazy, isn't it? Because there's ironically, an alternate timeline where Back to the Future never got made.
Yeah.
And no one ever heard about. They're just in a fucking scrap heap somewhere.
Yeah.
The company goes under and that's it. And you bring up the word DeLorean and I go, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
The movie completely saved it. It's the only reason that they would ever consider making more. That's mad.
When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious shit.
So it's just an unbelievable story, and it's not that long ago. I actually thought DeLoreans were maybe in the 60s. I thought they were back further than they were, mm-hmm. but conceivably somebody like my dad's age could have worked for DeLorean and made these cars. And yeah, you do see them. They're wheeled out for anything locally.
Anything. They've come to the opening of an envelope.
Exactly.
They love
but
it.
I would love to, if anyone listening has a DeLorean, has access to one, I would love
send us
to
bones.
Send me bones and let me.
But also,
I want to for like a big show promo or a tour or something. I want to drive to a gig in a DeLorean.
Well, maybe Shane, when we do our world tour,
yep,
the We're Not Fucking Historians world tour of all the places we've discussed,
yep,
which will obviously include Australia, Buenos Aires. We've got New York on there.
Yep.
So many places we've influenced most
the Caribbean.
Of Europe. Of course, I think we should go in the DeLorean.
Just do the whole, no air travel, no boat.
No, we'll drive everywhere. Only DeLorean.
Yes.
Obviously, there'll have to be some boats.
Nope. Not with that attitude.
Shane!
Yeah?
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Nice. Love that. That was, people will think we set that up. People
we
think
didn't.
We set that
I didn't
up,
even know what
didn't.
This episode was about. I'm so fucking. We could just quit the whole podcast now. I'm happy. I'm happy
well,
with that.
Look,
die happy.
I think read out the email that we've got and then we're done. We're out of here.
We've got an email from Christy Edwards. How are you, Christy? On the subject of St. Paddy's Day and the Lenten loophole that I was talking about. Remember this?
Yeah, I remember.
Christy says, this is a long one. Where I grew up in Louisiana. Louisiana, as they
oh,
say.
Dang.
The Tuesday before Ash Wednesday is called Fat Tuesday, which I love. I would love it more if it was spelled with a PH. It's not, but that's fine. It's called Fat Tuesday. It's the last day of a month-long, at least, celebration of Mardi Gras. Lots of parades and king cake throughout the celebration. The king cake is a round cake, usually tasting like cinnamon bread and can be stuffed with anything coated in coloured sprinkles.
Mm.
I'm going to come back because that sentence is confusing, Christy. It's not stuffed with anything coated in sprinkles. It's stuffed with anything and then I needed a comma. It's also coated in sprinkles,
Hazel,
I imagine.
You have a real bad attitude to this email.
It just sounded like you could only put shit in it if you coated it in sprinkles. Whatever. I'm sorry I'm an asshole. Okay. But they... Oh. I'm really confused. I feel like something's gone very wrong here. But they bury a little baby inside. And whoever gets the baby has to bring the cake next year. Shane, that's not a real baby, is it?
No, I'm going to say it's like a little jelly baby. It's like a wee jelly baby.
A wee jelly baby.
Yeah.
Not clear, Kirsty. That isn't clear. Kirsty, that's not clear from the email.
Hazel.
A wee baby. Okay. In elementary school, which here in the States is under the age of 12-ish, if we got the baby on our cake, we get an ice cream as well as the cake. Lovely. Basically all around a great time. We were always told growing up that Fat Tuesday was the last day of fun and happiness till Easter. No fun or happiness between Fat Tuesday or Easter, apparently. We aren't Catholic, but my Oma and Opa were and participated in Lent. Oma was born in Germany and said that at midnight they would dress in black and would have parades to the local church to signify the death of fun. Isn't that neat? She writes.
I actually like that a lot.
I love Christy. This is great, actually. I'm loving the tone. I'm getting the tone of this now. I think I was struggling because I was reading it in the tone of other emails. When I was younger, we moved to North Oklahoma because my dad's in the military. No one here celebrated Mardi Gras or Fat Tuesday. It was so sad. So, of course, we had to carry on the tradition ourselves.
Oh, can I just say, first of all, I'm a massive apology for Hazel's attitude, but can I just say, shout out to the Edwards family for just continuing to do something that nobody else does, because that's tough. Like when you move to a new place, you want to fit in, you try and follow the local customs, but the Edwards are just like, nah, this is what we do.
No, I'm gonna make a fucking cake, I'm gonna stuff it with anything coated in sprinkles, I'm gonna put a
remote.
I'm gonna bury a baby in it.
Yep.
And then someone's going to get that and they're going to get ice cream, and good for you.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
And then at midnight, we're all going to dress in black and go mourn the death of fun.
Yeah. Can I just say, let's add Oklahoma. We're going to Oklahoma in a DeLorean.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain.
Haven't seen it. Not sure of the tune.
That's exactly what the next line is, which is uncanny.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Doc. Are you telling me that you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Hello at nothistorians.com.
Is this email?
Social medias. Hazel Hayes, Shane Todd. Type it in, you'll find it.
We put up little clips as well. For anyone's listening to this and hasn't seen the clips, there do be little video clips. Said the L one. There do be little video clips on Instagram that you can watch. I get messages every fucking week on Instagram from people asking, where's the full video? It doesn't exist, it's a podcast, I'm so sorry. But you can watch the wee clips and then you can listen to the podcast.
So here's what we're going to do is, like, the doors on a DeLorean, we're going to bring them down, which is not as cool as when they go up. No. We're going to bring them down, we're going to start the engine, and we're going to drive into just the end of the episode.
At 88 miles an hour?
At 88 miles an hour. This was a good episode. I liked this.
I had a great time. I don't know about anyone at home, but I had fun.
All right, let's go build a DeLorean. And here's until next time.
We're not fucking historians.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes. I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly. Seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.